You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
It's time for Make the Call, a weekly discussion on the top Wisconsin sports stories of the week. You can listen to the show anytime on the free Civic Media app. Download it now on your device's app store or at civicmedia.us/app. Now, it's time for Make the Call, a Civic Media sports production.
It's another Saturday morning with us here on Make the Call on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Jimmy Cuska, sports director for this whole thing, and we are here on March Madness, somehow finding time away from all the productivity we've had at work the last couple of days to bring you this morning's show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Jimmy Cuska, and as always, we bring in Parker Olson and Greg Gunderson to the fold to talk all things sports and not sports as we get ready for the weekend. We got some good things to talk about. We got some bad things to talk about. And we might as well start with some good things in our segment, which we call the top 7 at 7. It's the top 7 sports stories or not sports stories at 7 in the morning on a Saturday. And number 7 on our list is a very important question, and it's on the topic of food, because why wouldn't we? What's the best sports venue food or drink item you've ever seen on the menu? So think about when you've gone to a game, whether it's been a major league game, a high school game, could be anything. And what is the best food or drink menu item you've seen when you've gone out to a game? So I will start it just because I'm looking in our studio here, and you guys have got the hand on chin. So I'm guessing you guys, I'm throwing this curveball at you early in the list. I'm going to start with mine. About a decade, maybe 15 years ago, the Milwaukee Brewers introduced the pulled pork parfait, which is literally just pulled pork and mashed potatoes with barbecue sauce. And it was incredible. I just think when you take anything with mashed potatoes and blended meat and barbecue sauce, it's going to be a winner for me.
There's not room for improvement there. Like, that combination of foods will always slap. Like, that was a gimme. They knew it, no matter what price they put on it. Jimmy, mine's super boring because it's the most common item you can find at any stadium anywhere, but it's at a particular place. The hot dogs at South Dakota State University. Went to a basketball game there probably 20 years ago now and somehow wound up with a plain hot dog. I had foil, I had a bun, and I had meat in the middle of it. That's the best hot dog I've ever had. Somebody out there knows what brand they are. I wish I had them at home.
So my high school, my one of where I grew up, Cadott, they get their hot dogs in from a local meat company, like a meat distributor. So Butcher. The hot dogs at a high school game in Cadott, I would put up against just about anybody in the country. Parker, how about you?
Man, I mean, Gray, you're 100%. There's something, I don't know necessarily if it's about the location of the place, but there's something about a hot dog being at the ballpark. It's just so much better. I don't know if it's the, like, being fresh grilled right there or what, but it just makes me so much happier. I love a ballpark hot dog. And not the brand. I don't mean the brand. The brand's fine, though.
Well, they're okay, but they're not the ones you're talking about. Peanuts and Cracker Jacks, the third item, the ballpark hot dog, should have made the list.
Ooh, there you go.
Well, we've saved our potential sponsorships for the future, Parker. Way to go on that. Number six in our top 7 at 7. So let's talk about the ballpark. Let's talk some baseball. The World Baseball Classic wrapped up last week. And with that, Venezuela is your World Baseball Classic championships and our champions. And they had a couple of Brewers on the roster. Team USA had Bryce Terang. So we have a lot of Brewers representation in this final game. And my question to you guys is, do you think the success of those players have had in the World Baseball Classic is going to carry over now into the Major League Baseball season?
I certainly think that for Bryce Terang, it could. I think that obviously he had a very, very good World Baseball Classic. I don't have the numbers in front of me right now, but I know that he was just incredible at the bat. Honestly, he was probably one of the more consistent guys. I believe he got all tournament team or whatever it is, honorable, whatever it is that they do for that. But I know that he did very well there. So I think that he certainly could, especially, and I know this is kind of a little bit backwards, but he's leaving the World Baseball Classic with a bad taste in his mouth because Team USA did not play well in the last, oh, I don't know, probably 15 innings worth or so of baseball that they played. So I think that he's kind of leaving that hungry, but he's also got that success to really motivate him and to get back into the groove of, I think that he's going to keep going.
It's extra reps. If nothing else, this is a little bit of a lead time. This is the chance to be warmed up before everybody else is. Of course, the question then becomes, will you peak at the right point of the season? But I think that would be getting ahead of ourselves. Yes, in a small way, Jimmy, I expect this to translate a little bit, if only because they've got some momentum. momentum that other players might not have.
And if you want to be, you know, extremely cynical, the fact that Bryce Terang had so many highlights and things only increases his trade value, and the Brewers inevitably dump him for prospects here, you know, in a year or two. So that's always there too.
Jimmy.
I'm sorry, Parker.
I'm already just, down. Don't kick a man while
dude,
he's
it's
down.
We're not feeling great today. I don't know if it's because we're all of our brackets are busted or whatever. We might as well make that our number five and our top seven at seven. Let's talk about our brackets, man, because, you know, every year, you know, our company, every company in the world does the illegal gambling thing where they do a office pool of brackets. Winner gets, you know, $20 in breaking rights, whatever. But I looked at mine. And I said it, and I'm telling you guys right now that I can't even get out of the play-in rounds without somebody losing. So my brackets are always gone within – Dayton, Ohio is where my bracket goes to die. How about you guys?
I learned it in a physics sensibility, Jimmy. The lesson I learned recently was that my bracket had a half-life in that – a day after I made it, it was half garbage, completely just dead. The way that I generally do it is I let the computer pick for me, and then I force Wisconsin into the final. And I know how likely that is to work out. But hey, at least after the first day, my champion pick, Duke, is still in it. So it could be at least they were at the time. Like, who knows what's coming down the pipeline. So I need to blame the person really responsible. His name is Otto. He's got two first names. Otto Phil. Do you guys know who that is? Okay, sorry. Never mind.
That is the number one expert, I think, in filling out brackets. Parker, how about you?
I mean, Gray, I'm in the same boat as you. Duke scared me, but they still won, and Wisconsin was in my Final Four. So, yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yep. Feeling good.
We'll talk more about the Badgers here in a bit. We had Jake Kokorowski joining us, too, at the bottom of the hour. I forgot to say at the beginning of the show that Jake Kokorowski is joining us. He's going to recap all the things with the Badgers and try to help us through it. Maybe lift our spirits a bit, I hope. Because I'm still feeling pretty down about what happened a couple days ago. But all right, let's move on. Let's move on to a Greg Gunderson special here in the top seven at seven. Number four, the Packers coaching staff has been finalized. They announced a series of final positional, coaching positions anyway, earlier this week. Also, just looking at some of the coaches and their backgrounds, there may be a couple of changes in store for what we see on the field for the Green Bay Packers this year. What changes do you think are happening, Gray?
Defense. It's going to be all on the defensive side of the ball, at least for the most part. One quick note that Romeo Doubs left, and he was one of our stickiest handed wide receivers. There were a lot of timing routes that didn't necessarily build. The play wasn't built around Romeo, but he was the blow-off valve that ended up being taken advantage of a lot. So there's some offensive changes, but the big shift is that almost nobody from the defense is the same as last year. The only name that I really recognize from last year's staff, DeMarcus Covington, was the defensive line coach, and now he's listed as the outside linebacker's run game coach. And part of that is probably the defensive shift we're expecting to see. A lot of fans wondering, will we see a shift from 4-3 defense that the Packers have run for quite a while now to a 3-4 defense? And signs are pointing to exactly that. There's no reason to change your defensive line coach's position title to outside linebackers unless you're making that switch where the defensive line is more focused on linebackers. And that's kind of a fair assessment. It's a very watered down way to explain the shift to 3-4. So defense, and then the other thing is special teams. But if we see a big improvement out of special teams, it won't be because the Packers were trying to achieve that. They were going to keep Rich Bisaccia, as far as I know. So I'm a little worried that if we see special team shift, it's because the new coordinator, Cam Acord, I believe it's pronounced, basically forced it to happen through sheer will alone. I'm basically worried we won't see enough changes. Parker, what are you thinking?
I'll just put it this way. I'm looking at the defensive coaching staff on the Packers website right now, and a bunch of them don't have pictures. That is kind of the signal for there are new things coming. And that doesn't include the new defensive coordinator who does have a picture. So actually, there's a lot of changes to be expected, Gray.
And that could be okay. The new faces could be okay. The Packers have a long history of taking names you've never heard of before and turning them into front office professionals like John Eric Sullivan, now the GM of the Dolphins. Yep. He was hired as a scouting intern by the Packers in the early 2000s. And now he's why the Miami Dolphins are Packers South.
Packers South, indeed. I will say this about the transition to a 3-4. It does mean that some of your favorite edge rushers for the Packers might be finding themselves doing some different things during plays. Micah Parsons in coverage. Like, that's the kind of stuff we're talking about with the changes. And I'm really curious to see a little more time to talk football as we get through the summer and see some of the draft and the mini camps and everything else. I can't wait. Draft is a month away. I'm already putting together my notebook for that. But we're going to move on in our top seven at seven before we nerd out. And number three is a very simple question for y'all. With opening day coming up on Thursday, the question is, will the Brewers make the playoffs this season?
Ooh. I will say that I've already got my salary cap protest slogans planned. So I'm going to say I'm not optimistic here, but I'm going to hope for the best. So I'm planning for other things, though. Parker, what about you? What are you feeling?
I am planning on the Brewers not winning the division, maybe. I could convince myself to win the division. But I do think that they're going to the playoffs regardless, at the very least as a wild card. I have been offered tickets to go to opening day. I am not sure if I can yet, though. It'd be really cool. I would love to, but I don't know if I can.
As Jordan sports director, we need a reporter on opening day, so you're our guy. Ooh. So there you go. There's your permission that you need.
Press credentials. All right. I like it.
Number two in our top seven at seven. By the way, my prediction is the Brewers are in for a big fight this year. They traded away some pieces here in the offseason, but it just seems like they restocked that pretty well. It just feels like they're going to be busy right to the end. And we won't really, you know, with the additional, the wild card things, it doesn't really keep them out of it. So it's really hard to read, but I don't know about winning the division like you, Parker, about that. So anyway, but anyway, that's for another time. Opening day coming up Thursday on many of these same Civic Media stations. With our last couple of minutes, we're going to go to a very familiar topic here at number two in our top seven at seven. And that's because this week there is some more drama coming out of Milwaukee in regards to the Bucks and Giannis Antetokounmpo. The Bucks want to shut him down for the rest of the year. Giannis wants to play. And that leads me to this. Do you think we've seen the last of Giannis Antetokounmpo as a Milwaukee Buck? There's only a couple of weeks left in the season. He's currently hurt. They have some meaningless basketball to go. I put it out there already on publicly social media this week. I think we're done with the Giannis era in Milwaukee personally, but that's where I'm at. How about you guys?
It's just too easy to look better than the Bucks, I think, right now. Whether or not a team is actually a better place for somebody like Giannis, I think it'd be really easy to convince him right now, because I don't think anybody is coming out there saying, hey, Giannis is secretly really happy right now, and all of these rumors about him being upset are lies. Okay, so we'll call it a given that he's not happy. That means the grass is looking greener elsewhere. And in a 30-team league, I'm thinking the grass looks greener in about 27 other places right now. Pretty short list of no's if I'm Giannis. Honestly, just buy me a train ticket, call it a surprise, and I'm a happy guy.
Oh, man. You know, Jimmy, I got to be honest with you. Every time that we bring up a Giannis question, I kind of feel like Michael Scott screaming, no, God, no, please, no. I'm tired of it.
Something happens every week that changes the direction of this conversation. And this week, it's he wants to play. The Bucks don't want him to play, whether it's because they want to increase his trade value or what. But anyway.
The reason I think that they don't want him to play is because he's been hurt, I think, every other week. Frankly, I'm not sure that he's been healthy hardly at all this year, it seems like. And I think I said this a couple of weeks ago. Giannis, you weren't going to be able to get him to sit. I think we predicted this exactly would happen, that they would get to a point where the Bucks were really bad and they weren't going to have any good chance of making the playoffs. And that, you know what? Let's just rest up Giannis to make sure he doesn't get hurt, whether that be for his own health or for trade value. And now we're here. The Bucks are asking him to sit. And guess what? Giannis has got too much of a heart on his sleeve to not be able to play. There's no chance he's going to stay off the court. Frankly, if the Bucks want to have a chance at keeping him, I think that they need to let him play just to try to keep him happy.
The Bucks are almost done. Only a few games left in the season. They'll be done in mid-April. Mercifully, the season will be over. They have no chance of making the playoffs and not really any chance to move up or down in the lottery either. So season's effectively done in Milwaukee. Number one in our top seven at seven is next. We're going to talk about the Badgers. They lost on Thursday to High Point, and we're going to take a deep dive on it for the next half hour. And we'll do that coming up next year on Make the Call, part of the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back to Make the Call on Civic Media.
It's Make the Call. As you heard the big voiceover guy say, I'm just repeating words that he says here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Let's talk Badgers as our number one in our top seven at seven. March Madness is upon us. We're through the first round now. We're down to 32 teams in the NCAA tournament, and none of those 32 teams are from Wisconsin, as the Badgers have been eliminated and they are done after losing to High Point 83-82 on Thursday, in which High Point made 15 of 40 three-point shots and took down the Badgers on a late transition bucket. Wisconsin season is done. Greg Gard summed up the experience by saying, "Today sucks. This sucks." And it does. And that's kind of where I feel that Greg Gard has looked into my soul and used the words right from there to say, yes, this sucks, the Badgers fan, because I thought that had they had, any matchup against a top team, it was going to be a lot of fun to watch. It's way more fun when the Badgers are trading threes or trading shots with a top-notch opponent rather than a program that has never won an NCAA tournament game. But here we are, guys. I'm past denial. I'm somewhere around acceptance, but it still sucks, man. It sucks.
I am certainly in acceptance. Yes. Gray and I, we've already talked about this at the top 7 at 7 about how we had Wisconsin in our Final Four. Let me ask you, is that a homer pick for you, or was that a legitimate they can make it to the Final Four?
The real answer here is that it was 100% a homer pick, but okay. I'm going to break it down further and defend it a little bit, because I wait until I hear that it's a worthwhile pick. I basically wait until I see good news about the Badgers from people who know better. And it's like, okay, cool. My homer strategy might actually work this year. That said, it was a I think it would have been a good sign. I'm basically the canary in the cave, if you will. If I'm picking Wisconsin, it's a sign that other people shouldn't have. You and I should have compared notes before the brackets went up, I think.
I mean, I thought it was a really legitimate pick. We walked into this game, and I think we said it last week. They were either going to lose to a bad opponent. Maybe that's true. I'm not going to discredit High Point. I think they actually are a pretty solid team, and they kind of give me the vibe that they're going to be that one team in March Madness that makes you go, oh, yeah, this is why March Madness is awesome. But it was going to be this, or it was going to be the Badgers made a really deep run. This is what we got. It was really disappointing to see the Badgers, I think, just not play well defensively. I think High Point couldn't miss a shot to save our lives.
One thing that I am going to say I'm glad for is the flavor of the conversation around the loss, you know, the things that are being blamed. I haven't heard NIL as part of a conversation about problems. And going into this like a month ago, it might have been easy to believe, hey, these small schools are going to disappear and the bigger schools are going to just get bigger, the rich get richer. I don't feel like I've been seeing that, at least not so far or so much that it's been a problem. What do you guys think about that? I don't feel like it was an unfair exit. I feel like they got beat.
It definitely was. They got beat. As for the NIL stuff, I think that is a really interesting conversation that we could probably do a whole segment on in its own right. Because I kind of think that obviously it doesn't help the small schools. The small schools are being used as stepping stones now, which frankly is really unfair to them. But also, even the big schools are being used as stepping stones now. The Badgers, if you look at it, AJ Storr, John Tanji, and Nick Boyd. Those are three one-year wonders for the Badgers. And they were all fantastic. And it just sucks that the Badgers couldn't hang on to them, because I think if you were to keep any of them for more than a year, then you get more chemistry. We've already seen how much chemistry, obviously, this season that Nick Boyd had with John Blackwell. That I do believe that guard duo was the best in the country. They were very, very good together. For them to only have one season together, that sucks, because they're not actually getting a full year's worth of reps. And this goes back to something with the small schools. The cool thing about small schools before was that you might get one really good class of players who mesh together over 3-4 years. And in their senior year, they actually make a really good deep run because they've had all that time to work together and to make that team into something that could do something in March Madness. You're not seeing that now. That hits everybody, even the Badgers. It's been very disappointing to me. Jimmy, I want to hear what you've got on the Badgers and kind of what were your expectations? I guess I don't remember. Did you say how deep you had them going to the brackets?
Yeah, in my bracket, I had them getting to the Sweet 16, and that was sheer optimism, just because I thought they've been playing down the stretch this year. But I went into this like, and we'll talk about this with Jake Kokorowski in our next segment, but it's very much boom or bust with the Badgers. They were either going to make a deep run, or they were going to be bounced early. They were bounced early, played a mid-major that can make three-point shots, had a great outside-in game, played defense. You know, one of the advantages the Badgers have had in the Big Ten is their backcourt. Their backcourt's among the best of the nation. That's how they got themselves into into upset territory with so many of these teams on the road in the Big Ten. And that's the thing. That was negated a bit just in that they found a team that could hang with them in terms of shooting threes and getting up and down the floor. And with the Badgers not really playing defense this season, well, it came back to bite them this year. Again, High Point is a team that is, after beating the Badgers, 31-4 going into today. So not a team by any means that was a slouch, but also a team that, had they not gotten the auto bid, would have never made the NCAA tournament. Not in a million years, no. The way things are set up. And their coach was right to point this out. Nobody plays the top mid-majors. That's why Miami of Ohio had zero quad one wins. It's why High Point didn't get to see anybody during the year, because when a team, a good mid-major team is out there, well, the major teams aren't going to play them. They don't want to have that loss on the record, especially if that mid-major ends up not being that great in the end. So to me, the boomer bust Badgers, I think, played out almost exactly as we thought it would. And again, Jake will tell us about it here in the next segment, guys. But on my bracket, I had them going to the Sweet 16, just hoping that after a decade, they'd get back there. But, you know, it's going to be another year to wait to see if they can do it.
It's been a full decade?
Yeah, 2017.
Oh my God.
It's going to be 2027 next year.
Oh.
Man, it is tough being a Badgers fan sometimes.
And people like it. I am in the camp that I like Greg Gard. I think that he should remain the head coach. I can't believe he hasn't made... Wow, that hurts.
Yeah,
Jimmy.
And people say that that wasn't even his team that did it and all that. That's why the social media memes have been out there. I don't know, guys. It is tough right now. But, you know, that being said, they've been a 5 seed three times in the last, 8 years. They've been a 3 seed. They've also missed a tournament a couple times. So it is really boom or bust, I guess. And that is where we'll leave it, because Jake Kokorowski is waiting right now to join the studio. And we're going to bring him in next to talk about all things Wisconsin Badgers here in the thick of March Madness. This is Make the Call on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome back to Make the Call on Civic Media.
It is the bottom of the hour, which means it's time to talk all things Badgers with Jake Kokorowski of Badger Observer and BadgerObserver.com. Jake, our conversations are ending a little earlier this year. We're going to get a couple more weeks with you on Badgers men's basketball because, well, their season's over. They lost on Thursday, lost to High Point, a college that I feel like, you know, just as an institution itself, it's like a business college. A business executive suite kind of college with golf cart tours and swimming pools and, you know, airplane cabins and all the crazy things. But more to the point, they shot and made 15 three-pointers against the Badgers. And a guy who had not made a two-point field goal all year had a transition layup, and that ends the Badgers season 83-82 on Thursday. I think we've gotten past the initial, I don't know if shock is the right word. I think disappointment's probably a better word for this, because well, the Badgers have been here before as the 5 seed. They've lost the last few times they've been a 5 seed. Just kind of a, you know, after all the knee-jerk reactions and the hashtag FireGuard folks, where are we at here a couple of days later with the Badgers? How are we feeling about Wisconsin men's basketball season?
Really just what this team was about is what showed on Thursday, right? Where you have two great guards, and yeah, you can make an argument that that's the best starting backcourt in the country with, you know, Nick Boyd and John Blackwell. They combined for nearly 50 points, 49 points. They both shot over 50%. You know, they shot exactly 50%, 18 for 36 on their, you know, and guard plays, you know, is key in the NCAA tournament, and they provided it. And you saw the brilliance on their end in that regard, but it's also, you saw we talked about this throughout the entire season, right? The volatility of this team where, you know, the defense wasn't necessarily up to par where, you know, they allowed High Point. Yeah, it was under 50%, but they shot 45%. They made, High Point shot 53% from 3-point range in the second half. They made 9 of those 15 3-pointers in that second half in those final 20 minutes. And, you know, credit goes to High Point, right? But for pulling off the upset and you know, they're down by 10 and Wisconsin looked like they're about ready to pull away and really kind of set the tone, and High Point fought back. And I mean, even Wisconsin had leads in the second half that you'd think, okay, now they're going to put it away. And they allowed Wisconsin, I mean, there's a scoring drought in the second half that allowed High Point to get back in the game. But you're looking at certain things that, I mean, one, another thing, fast break points, High Point had 16, compared to Wisconsin's five, and that included that basket you talked about, the player that didn't have a two-pointer all season that decides to, you know, lay it up, and hey, that's kind of poetry, right, for March Madness. But really, Wisconsin, you know, it's it should be disappointing. Again, Wisconsin has not reached a Sweet 16 in quite some time. And, you know, I do think Greg Gard's a great coach. And I think there's the evolution of his coaching style and just the philosophy of what they're doing on offense should be commended. And also what he's done in the transfer portal and bringing in guys that have made immediate impacts. But yeah, it's now just, I mean, it's okay to ask the question of like, what's next in terms of how does this program get to that second weekend that's eluded them for quite a while.
Talking to Jake Kokorowski of Badger Observer, yeah, it's been since 2017, and the Badgers in that since then have lost three times as a five seed. They've even lost as a three seed, so, you know, in the second round anyway. But it is certainly disappointing. There's still some sting to it here, even a couple of days later. And, you know, if you take a step back and you look at the tournament as a whole, yeah, it's happened to everybody. There were several upsets in the first couple of rounds of the NCAA tournament. So it's not just the Badgers being a power conference team that lost, but what was different, I think, a bit this year is that I think people saw this kind of coming, Jake, because the Badgers did really well against the top teams on their schedule. They won on the road in some almost impossible places, but they had some real head-scratching losses this year, too, and I think that was kind of foreshadowing a bit for what happened against High Point.
Right, and I mean, like I said, and that goes back to that volatility. It's that roller coaster. Someone, I think, my buddy Bart Torvik for T-Rank, you know, former contributor when we were both at Bucky's Fifth Quarter, he had said, told me like last week that, you know, they're Jekyll and Hyde at times. And you go up, they shouldn't have lost that game against Oregon on the road. They attempted what the school record, like 44, 45 3-pointers. You know, there are certain games where, the home loss to USC, they should have won. And this is the way this team was. And a lot of that goes towards, if you're going to be building a team that likes to shoot from the perimeter, when you go cold, man, that's killer. There are times where you saw, like we talked about this, I think throughout the season, that the identity, like that's got them to moving up to a five seed and having that late surge in from, you know, January through the early part of March, was that toughness and that grittiness that was shown on the, yeah, and the effort plays that were necessarily seen in the beginning of the season during non-conference play. And so you saw that, but you saw a little bit of that during the game, but you saw High Point do a little bit more. And so, like I said, that's where, and for that matter, Wisconsin didn't shoot bad from 3-point range against High Point. I'm just looking at the stats, right? In the second half, they didn't shoot well. They shot, shot 33%, and they shot nearly 40% for the game. But it's also like when the defense isn't necessarily up to what, I don't know if it'll ever be up to the Bo Ryan standards of the, how much of a stickler Bo was when it came to defense. But when you have, it's just, one, it's a different type of game now and whatnot, but it's, it's just, there's a lot that goes into this with this team that you saw the progress and you saw the hints of the identity, but it just, not all of it clicked when it absolutely needed to in that, on Thursday. And that's why they're going home.
Did you think, Jake, that this was kind of the, as sad as it is, the perfect ending to Badger basketball season this year? Because frankly, to me, it felt exactly how I sort of thought it would. Last week we were talking, they're either going to be a really, really good March Madness deep run, or they're going to lose to somebody that you think they should beat, and they're not going to play well defensively. That's kind of what we saw, right?
Yeah, I think a perfect ending would have been like they go up to the – I feel like, I think the ending in terms of this type of way with how volatile this team is from that standpoint, I think it's the perfect ending. I think a perfect ending for just what you saw for that second half of the season would have been, hey, they beat High Point in a gritty one. They beat Arkansas, and then they go into the Sweet 16, and they give, and maybe they upset, whoever they face there, and then they lose to a lower ranked seed trying to get to the Final Four. That's just my, maybe that's my poetic, maybe it's just having a, I won't say necessarily a darker sense of humor, but just seeing how this team worked where, hey, they can, I think we saw this team, play the, really well against the Michigans. You know, they beat Michigan on the road, and then they take Michigan to, you know, to the limit last second in the Big Ten tournament in a neutral court without one of their best players in Nolan Winter. You saw what they did against Illinois twice. And so that's where, you know, in terms of wins, and you saw what they did, you know, at home, Michigan State, like, and at Purdue. So yeah, there's so much positives with this team, with just what they were able to prove. And I mean, it was a high ceiling team. I could have seen them go to the Final Four. I wasn't able to make it out to Portland, but I put in credentials just to make sure, just in case. Like, and San Jose would have been the second weekend for the West Regional. I wouldn't have been able to make it out there because ticket prices are crazy. But, you know, if they would have made it to the Final Four, yeah, I would have made the trip out there. And because that's why I thought this team could surprise. I mean, if you're going to beat Michigan, if you're going to beat Illinois, if you're going to beat Purdue, yeah, man. Like at Michigan State, yeah, they could make it up to the Final Four. And but it's like we mentioned before, that then it's a low floor where, hey, you lose to Oregon, and not saying High Point's Oregon, right? But it's you know, High Point deservedly had 30 plus wins this season. So, but it's also just a very much yeah, it is kind of just what I think it does. It's a microcosm of this team. I think is a really good apt description of just. That loss was, hey, you saw the great guard play. You saw, you saw this team, 17 assists on 31 baskets. I mean, they're able to pass the ball really well this season. But the other thing I would say too is this, I mean, who else stepped, you know, Austin Rapp stepped up a little bit, but you didn't, you know, they're still inconsistent play with some of the big guys and not getting as many contributions. And I mean, Nolan Winter, you know, had 8 points and played 20 minutes, but he was coming back from injury too. So, I mean, you saw the you know, defensive lapses at times.
Jay Kokorowski of Badger Observer and BadgerObserver.com. You can read more of a recap on all the things that happened on Thursday in the NCAA tournament with the Badgers, including Greg Gard's post-game press conference, where he said, "This sucks, today sucks," which is a pretty good summation of feelings for pretty much any Badgers fan that day. But Jake, before we let you go, I just want to be a little forward thinking on basketball. What's the roster look like now going in the next year, knowing that there's going to be some transfer portal stuff that happens between now and the start of practices in the fall?
Yeah, no, and there's so much going on forward thinking, not just basketball, but volleyball. They have a match next week at Marquette to start their spring, and then spring football. So it's going to get very busy at Badger Observer. And then trying to even think about basketball is going to be the next thing is, well, I mean, Gaughan's Nick Boyd, I mean, Andrew Rohde, Braden Carrington, you know, are going to be the key names in terms of them, you know, exhausting their eligibility, and they were key contributors this season. So how's Wisconsin going to replenish that backcourt again? And then what do they do, I think, in the interior? Do they try to refortify? Austin Rapp and Alexis Biliauskas took some major steps, I feel. And can they, and then, you know, Nolan Winter, you know, continue to add strength and add, you know, presence in the, you know, in the interior of the court? That's going to be the next question. And can, you know, can there be more rim protection? That's going to be one thing to watch as well. So, I mean, and with every basketball roster, it feels like every year they turn over rosters, and we saw how much Wisconsin's turned over last season after the John Tanjay year. And so, I mean, it's a to be determined, because we just don't know how everything shapes out. But as always, Badger Observer will try to keep track of everything and let people know what's next.
Well, what is next too, and what's happening now? And I think we'll talk more about this next week, is spring ball is starting up. And I know it's not like it was in the past, where we got the spring football game and people could come out and see kind of what was going to be on the field in the fall. But spring football is here. And Jake, we had about a minute here. There's, you know, we know about the disappointment of basketball, but there's quite a similar feeling with football the last couple of years too. And under Coach Luke Fickell, and I know Badgers football, you know, for them, the schedule this year is a little more favorable, but at the same time, I think people are curious to see if this team can return to at least getting to a bowl game in 2026.
I mean, I think that should be the absolute least that benchmark for this team. And with the schedule that they have, you know, we just after I talk to you guys, be heading down to Camp Randall Stadium for a little Saturday morning practice to watch. It'll be the second one media has been able to view. And there's a lot of questions to answer with this team. And Yeah, and there's, I was going to write an article about it, but I feel like there are question marks outside of one or two position groups for this program right now in terms of all the roster turnover. And I also on Badger Observer, if you're trying to figure out which Badger is having which jersey number now, I got you covered. I got a little handy study guide for y'all to make sure you guys are set to go there. So it's, but yeah, it's you know, hope springs eternal, if that's the right terminology. And so we'll see. I mean, it'll be the second spring practice. We'll be able to view appears all of them going forward, and Badger Observer will break down all what transpires inside Wisconsin's facilities coming up.
All right. Well, we'll talk to you more about Badgers football next week. But for now, we're going to go back to looking at our busted brackets after Wisconsin loses earlier this week in men's basketball. Jake, thank you for joining us, and look forward to talking to you again next week.
Awesome. Y'all enjoy the weather out there. We'll talk to you soon.
Jake Kokorowski, Badger Observer, back after this to wrap things up on Make the Call, part of the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to Make the Call on Civic Media.
One final time here on Make the Call, part of the Civic Media Radio Network, Parker Gray. It is time for our final sports thoughts of the week, and I will start with Gray. What is your final sports thought for the week as we sit here after, I know you've been busy in the office the last couple of days. I haven't. I've just been watching TV, but that's my job. I'm the sports director. This is what I get paid to do. For you, I'm sure you've been much more busy. What are your final sports thoughts for the week, man?
Jimmy, I'm sitting here daydreaming, not daydreaming. It's more like day nightmaring the eulogy to the rest of my bracket. It's just a matter of time at this point. If your bracket looks anything like mine and you have a bail option, an ejector seat, some lever you can pull to remove yourself from the space quickly, I completely recommend it. I'm something at like 130 out of a group of 160 something right now. And the 30 people below me didn't even pick their tiebreaker. Like, I'm below the people who got their name right on the SAT right now. That's my final enduring and will remain a thought on sports on my mind. Parker, can we cleanse the palate from what I just said, please?
Let me think of something. It's opening day. That's all I got for you. I'm excited for opening day, and I'm going to ignore the part about the pitching health that I was going to talk about. I am excited for opening day and the Brewers. You can listen to it on Civic Media.
I'll revise mine now. Jordan Love is throwing out the first pitch on opening day, and that is worth thinking about. There we go.
That's a good
I would say for me,
game.
After the Badgers' loss in the NCAA tournament, the most compelling storyline left was the Battle of the Ice Tees, Arizona versus Long Island. That was the only game I cared about, and now that game is done. I have nothing to watch for in the tournament. My bracket is so broken. I don't even know. I know somebody whose bracket isn't broken, and that's Mike Clemens, who joins us here in about 20 seconds. But I'm telling you guys, March Madness, it like you get so hyped for it. The first couple of days are amazing. You have four games on one screen going, and then all of a sudden, like the teams that you thought would be good aren't good, and it's over. That's where I'm at. I'm right there with you guys. Opening day, as you said, is here. Spring is here. Warm weather is here today. It's 1,000 degrees here in southern Wisconsin. Appreciate you guys. Have a good rest of your weekend.
Thanks, Jimmy.
We have Mike Clemens coming up now with a sports update. We'll get a full look at all things sports with Mike right now. It has been Make the Call, the Civic Media Radio Network. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Wisconsin with a shot at the title. Good morning, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. We begin with women's college hockey. The Wisconsin Badgers team headed to the title game in the Frozen Four going on at the Penn State campus in Pennsylvania. The Badgers women beat the host team, Penn State, in a thriller last night, 4-3. The game going into overtime. The Badgers now take on the Ohio State Buckeyes tomorrow afternoon at 3 o'clock. This is the 17th time the Badgers women's hockey team has made it to the Final Four. They returned to this tournament the last 4 years in a row under head coach Mark Johnson, who was asked, how hard is it to get this team to appreciate how special this opportunity is?
Yeah, I mean, that's, the battle you have to fight is, when expectations are so high. I never take it for granted because I know how hard and difficult it is. Trying to get the players to understand that and buy into it early on in the season, and then be consistent throughout the season and get through these things that happen. And then at the end, yeah, you're in a position to go to the Frozen Four again, and you're, you know, maybe meeting national champions, but knowing that, you know, each step now is more challenging and more difficult, so your focus stays on what can we do to give ourselves a chance to win that game.
Men's college basketball. Yeah, it was one and done this week for the Wisconsin Badgers when they lost to the High Point Panthers 83-82 on Thursday in the NCAA tournament. Was it a bad performance by Wisconsin head coach Greg Gard after the season-ending loss?
You know, I didn't think we played bad. I thought they beat us. They beat us. They were banging in that many threes. That was their chance to do that. And credit to them. Tip your cap to them. That they were able to make shots then take more and make more than they have in a long time.
Nick Boyd was such an addition to the team this year, a transfer from San Diego State, and led the scoring for the Badgers in this game. There was an interesting confrontation he had with a reporter in the locker room after the game. The question was this year's Badgers team overrated?
It's hard to say this was a great team just based on how it ended.
Why you said it?
Well, tell me, make the case.
Great team. Why not?
In terms of how this ended?
I mean, you know, great teams make it to March Madness. High Point's a great team. Okay. You know what I'm saying? It is what it is. Like, it's only 64 teams that allowed to step foot on that court right there. You know what I mean? Yeah. So you got to be a great team to get there. And, if there were no upsets in a sense, there would be no March Madness. So, like I said, you know, it happens. You tip your cap. And not say we're not a great team. I mean, so what do you think?
I don't know. It's tough. I think it's a tough season to define. You're
still
a good team. A team that loses in the first round of the NCAA tournament.
What do you think about it? It's a bad team?
It's not bad.
Good? All right. I guess I can.
Not quite great.
Okay. I guess I can agree with you on that a little bit. But
it's just hard. It's really hard to define.
To define? What you mean?
I just think it's hard to label what this season was. It was, you guys had four wins over top 10 teams.
Now, what type of teams do that?
Right. Exactly.
So what you going to call us then?
I don't know. That's the problem. Yeah. There's a history before you got here of this program just not being able to get over the hump in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, I mean, this is a great program. So, yeah, I mean, I guess you got to call it what it is. Tradition, history, wins is losses. Yeah, I mean, I think any coach in the country would take 24-11. So, I'm proud of that. I say it's a great team.
That was the Badgers senior Nick Boyd. In the NBA, another turbulent week for the Milwaukee Bucks. First, Giannis Antetokounmpo went down with another injury, this time a hyperextended knee. Then came another story about the Bucks from ESPN that claimed the team wants to shut down Giannis for the rest of the season, but that he still wants to return and play. On Thursday, the Bucks were blown out by one of the worst teams in the league, the Utah Jazz, 128-96. A 32-point loss, head coach Doc Rivers.
We played awful, didn't play with any competitive spirit tonight. I thought the first group set the tone. I thought the first group came in. Everyone on the team, you know, that group was trying to score. So funny, we had a shoot around the day where the ball was moving. Everything was second action. First six times, the guy who was supposed to go to kept it. And, you know, at the end of the day, that's on me to get him to play right.
Rivers praised the effort of two players, Ryan Rollins and veteran Bobby Portis, who was asked, is the season basically over now for the Bucks?
It is what it is. 13 games left in the season. Just trying to build off of it and give forth a good effort every time we out there. Obviously, today was super disappointing. And, like, you probably never want to lose a game like that, right? But, you know, we play every other day the rest of the year. So, you know, there's plenty of opportunities to go out there and, you know, keep guys, you know, locked in and just keep building. Like I said, man, it's been a up and down year, a lot going on. But I'm in a fight, though, so I ain't laying down.
That's Bobby Portis. The Bucks in Phoenix tonight to play the Suns. Tip-off time, 9 p.m. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.